Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. The story is told of how Adolf Hitler one day was giving a fiery speech in a stadium in Munich early in his rise to power. As he was ranting and raving and clenching his fists and calling for the destruction of the Jewish people, he noticed a little old Jewish man in the front row who was laughing uncontrollably. Hitler stopped in the middle of his speech, marched down to where the man was sitting, and said to him, "What are you laughing about? Your people are as good as dead." The little old Jewish man answered the Führer, "You are not the first person to say this. There was once a great pharaoh in Egypt who enslaved our people. And when God got done with him, we ate matzah and celebrated the Passover. Then sometime later, there arose a Haman who sought to annihilate our people just like you. And when God got done with him, we ate Hamantaschen and celebrated the feast of Purim. Then sometime later, there rose up an Antiochus Epiphanes, who also tried to destroy our people by banning Jewish practices and forcing us to assimilate into Hellenistic Greek culture. And when God got done with him, we ate latkes and celebrated the festival of Chanukah. So, as I was listening to your speech, I kept wondering, when God gets done with you, I wonder what food we're going to eat." Jewish festivals are all about eating. But it is also true that Jewish festivals are also all about reading. For example, on Tisha B'Av, we read the Book of Lamentations. On Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, we read the Book of Ecclesiastes. On Purim, we read the Book of Esther. And on Passover, we traditionally read the Book of the Song of Songs. There is not a single Jewish festival that we observe without reading a special portion of God's Word. And so this raises the question, with Shavuot around the corner, this coming Wednesday, when we celebrate the festival together as a congregation, the question is, what special portion of God's Word do we read during this festival? That is the question I would like to discuss with you this morning. I want to challenge all of us today to celebrate Shavuot as a feast of reading and not just a feast of eating. Very good. What makes Shavuot a feast of reading? Well, to begin with, on the first night of Shavuot, there is a tradition of celebrating the Torah through a special service that is called Tikkun Le'il Shavuot. Tikkun Le'il Shavuot. As part of this Erev Shavuot service, it is traditional in some Jewish communities, in fact, many Jewish communities around the world, to read and study the beginning and the ending of every book of the Torah. And not only every book of the Torah, but it is also traditional to read and to study the beginning and the ending of the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, yes, this is all on the same night, Ezekiel, the 12 minor prophets, Psalms, Proverbs, yes, there's not much sleep going on. Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra and Nehemiah, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. In short, the custom on Shavuot Eve, Erev Shavuot, is to read the beginning and the ending of every book of the Hebrew Bible and to study these sections all night long. It's like a lock-in, folks. Wow. Regrettably, this year we won't be doing this at our service. You say, oh, but I'm not sure we're up for it as a community. But maybe next year this is something we can plan for. And until then, I would like to challenge us all this year to consider privately doing some of this in the days leading up to Shavuot and on the two traditional days of the festival. Try to read and reflect on the first three verses and the last three verses of every book of the Tanakh, every book of the Hebrew Scriptures. It's in many communities, they do the first three verses and the last three verses. It varies, but oftentimes it's 3-3. And since we are a Messianic Jewish congregation, let's do the same with the 27 books of the New Testament and give special attention to our studying Acts chapter 1 and 2, as Lloyd did with us last week in his sermon. And in this way, we can observe our own Messianic Jewish Tikkun Le'il Shavuot tradition. What do you think? Sounds good? All right. Let's do it. A second way that we make Shavuot a feast of reading is by following the tradition of reading Exodus chapter 19 and 20, the entirety of Exodus chapter 19 and 20, on the day of the festival. Here we are told about our people arriving at Sinai and the Lord speaking his 10 words, or his 10 commandments, to our people. At the conclusion of the 10 commandments, we are told in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, which is verse 15 in Hebrew Bibles, we're told, V'chol ha'am ro'im et hakolot, which can be translated, all the people saw the thunder. Or it can also be translated, as Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki put it, quote, all the people saw the hakolot, the sounds which God spoke. That's a very different translation, isn't it? In one, hakolot is translated, all the people saw the thunder. And in the other translation, all the people saw the sounds that God spoke. In traditional Jewish thought, some of our rabbis argue that the people could literally see the words of God coming down from heaven. Do we have any artists in our sanctuary? Isn't this a beautiful picture? To actually see the words of God descending from the throne of God into the hearts of the people. Last night at our Rosh Chodesh Sivan service, as David Ween was singing and playing music with Ian and Sonia, I could imagine seeing the sounds that were coming from these worshipers into our hearts. May our hearing of the Ten Commandments, the 10 words this year, be that spiritually impacting that we can almost see the sounds of these words. I encourage us not only to read the Ten Commandments, the 10 words, but to memorize them. Even as we have challenged our children in Shabbat school to memorize this part of God's Word. Do we have any young people in the room who are memorizing the Ten Commandments? If we do, raise your hand so we can identify you. Raise it high. All right, I see two in the back. That's right. I am hopeful that at least one of our children, and hopefully more, will be able to recite the Ten Commandments from memory at our Shavuot service on Wednesday. All of us, however, not just our children, but all of us need to store up this important portion of God's Word in our minds and in our hearts. The Ten Words, the Ten Commandments, were an important part of Jewish liturgy in the first century CE. According to the Mishnah, the Ten Commandments were part of the Shacharit, the morning service, at the Jerusalem temple, and preceded the recitation of the Shema. We also have archaeological evidence that the Ten Commandments were part of Jewish liturgy in the first centuries of the Common Era. At the Cambridge University Library, you can see what is known as the Nash Papyrus, which is four papyrus fragments that include a version of the Ten Commandments followed by the Shema. This came from a second century BCE Egyptian Jewish community, and many scholars speculate from this that the Ten Commandments were used in their liturgical prayers, just as we have our liturgical prayers every Shabbat morning. Finally, we have Tefillin from the Qumran caves where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found that include the Ten Commandments with the Shema. After the destruction of the temple, however, many Jewish communities, though wanting to include the Ten Commandments in their synagogue prayers and in their personal prayers, however, faced resistance from early rabbis who opposed this practice because, interestingly, some presumably Christian groups incorporated the Ten Commandments into their own liturgy. And because they embraced a theology that only the Ten Commandments remained valid and not the rest of the Torah, at least for Jews, the rabbis did not want to be identified with these communities. So in response to Christian liturgy, it was ruled by our rabbis that the Ten Commandments could not be part of Jewish liturgy. And hence, it is not a part of Tikvat Israel's liturgy even today. However, on Shavuot, an exception was made, and the Ten Commandments were read publicly for all to hear in the synagogue, thus making this portion of God's Word all the more special, because it is the only time during the year when it is given this prominence. And this reminds me of a story about four Jewish brothers who left home for college and became successful doctors and lawyers. Some years later, they were eating together at a restaurant and discussed the gifts that they sent to their elderly mother, who lived far away in another city. The first said, "I had a big house built for Mama." The second said, "I had a $100,000 theater built in the house." The third said, "I had my Mercedes dealer deliver her an SL600 with a chauffeur." And the fourth said, "Listen to this. You know how Mama loved reading the scriptures on Shavuot? And you know how she can't anymore because she can't see very well? Well, I met this rabbi who told me about a parrot that can recite the whole Bible from memory. It took 20 rabbis, 12 years to teach this parrot. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the temple, but it was worth it. Mama just has to say, Exodus 19 through 20, and the parrot will recite it." The other brothers were very impressed. After the holidays, Mama sent out her thank you notes. "Milton," she wrote, "the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway." "Marvin," she wrote, "I am too old to travel. I stay home and have my groceries delivered. So I never use the Mercedes, and the driver you hired is a Nazi. The thought was good. Thanks. Menachem, she wrote, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby sound, but I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I'll never use it. Thank you for the gesture, just the same. Dearest Melvin, she wrote, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. That does have to do with our Darash, by the way. The bird did memorize Exodus 19 through 20. A third way that we can make Shavuot a feast of reading is by following the tradition of reading the book of Ruth on the day of the festival. There are several reasons why Ruth is read on Shavuot. One reason is that Shavuot is a harvest time, as Lloyd shared with us last week. It is the time of the wheat harvest, and the events of the book of Ruth took place during the spring harvest season. A second reason why Ruth is read during the season of Shavuot, according to our rabbis, is that Ruth entered into Israel's covenant through her vow. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she says, Amech ami ve'elohayach Elohai. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. In the same way, all of Israel entered the covenant during the season of Shavuot, the third month when the Torah was given and all Israel vowed to listen and to obey. So let us read the book of Ruth on Shavuot. It is an inspiring book that reminds us of God's covenant love and faithfulness, a central theme of Shavuot. And by the way, just a little footnote on the book of Ruth. Every Shabbat in my household, we have our Shabbat dinner, and we say the blessings. And one of the readings that we do at our table is we read from Proverbs chapter 31. And in Proverbs chapter 31, it talks about the wife of noble character. And in Hebrew, the word wife of, the term for wife of noble character is eshet chayil. Eshet can mean woman or wife. So woman of noble character or wife of noble character. So every Friday night, I read this over Harumi, and I think about my wife, who is an eshet chayil. She is a woman, a wife of noble character. But interestingly, there is only one woman in the whole of the scriptures who is described explicitly with the words, Eshet Chayil. Do you know who that is? In Ruth chapter 3, Ruth is referred to as an Eshet Chayil, a woman of noble character. So when we read Proverbs 31 at our Shabbat dinner tables, let us remember Ruth and the character that she displayed in this precious book that the Lord has given us. And this brings us to a fourth and final way that we make Shavuot a feast of reading. According to Jewish tradition, King David, who was Ruth's great grandson, was born on Shavuot and died on Shavuot. Because of this, there is a custom in some Jewish communities around the world to try to recite the entirety of the book of Psalms on the second day of the festival. So if you still have energy after staying up all night on the first day, and after reading the Reader's Digest version of the scriptures, the first three verses and the last three verses of every book in the Hebrew scriptures, plus the 27 books of the New Testament, then on the second day, read the entirety of the book of Psalms. Do you want to supercharge your spiritual life this year? Make Shavuot a festival of reading. Let's do what we can this year to internalize the words of David, the king of Israel, who loved the Torah and, led by the Spirit, pointed us to the son of David, Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. This morning, I have sought to challenge us all to make Shavuot this year not just a feast of eating. And yes, we will be eating at our party on Wednesday. There'll be ice cream galore, ice cream sundaes galore. But let's not make it just a feast of eating. Let's make it a feast of reading. Today, we talked about four ways that we can do that on the Feast of Shavuot. First, on Erev Shavuot, the first night, we can observe the tradition of Tikkun Le'il Shavuot by reading and studying the first and last three verses of every book of the Bible, giving special attention to Acts chapter 1 and 2. Secondly, we can read and memorize Exodus chapters 19 through 20, which includes the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. We can seek to see the sounds of God's word enter our hearts, even as our rabbis envisioned our ancestors long ago, seeing the sounds come from the mouth of God descending upon our people Israel. Thirdly, we can read the book of Ruth on the first day of the festival and pay attention to what it teaches us about God's covenant love and faithfulness, as well as Ruth's character as an Eshet Chayil, as she's described in chapter 3, a woman of noble character. And finally, we can challenge ourselves to read the whole book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms, on the second day of the festival, in commemoration of the birth and the Yahrzeit of King David. The Psalms is a book that was largely written by a king who personified the meaning of Shavuot. May Shavuot be for all of us this year a wonderful and delicious feast of reading. Let's pray.